It's Wednesday, the 23rd of September, and you're listening to Game Grin Grincast. We've got games, news, and of course a bit of banter. Joining me are Ace and Fowler. A bit of an early pod, as we're airing on a Wednesday instead of the usual Thursday, and we're also a man down. But sure enough, all battle stations will resume as next week. Well, as of next week. But for now, let's go on with the show. So let's begin with what we've been playing, reviewing, or perhaps previewing this week. So to start, take it away, Ace. What have you been playing this week?
I'm ashamed to say I'm still working on Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain. It's quite a big game, and I'm currently stuck on a level. It'd be much easier if I went back and unlocked Quiet, I'm assuming, but I'm not going to do that.
Are you struggling to get Quiet?
When I first went up against her, it was like I've shot her at least a dozen times, and her health is still at 80%. Sod this, I'm running off.
Yeah, she's really freaking difficult. I struggled with her, and I tried taking her down with the tranquilizer gun, because I thought it was like, with Metal Gear Solid 3, I thought if you trank them, then they live, but if you shoot the shit out of them, they die.
Spoiler. Well, people might have thought that she was only in one mission, you know, from all the screenshots and toys. And yeah, have you seen the toy? It has squidgy boobs.
Anyway. No.
Seriously, there's a toy of her which has malleable breasts.
Lovely.
Yeah. Thank you, Japan.
Wow, Japan. That's Japan for you. Yeah, but they love all that shit.
It's like the mouse pads they have too, right?
Yeah, for that, what was it? Seren Gurren.
Yeah. The collector's edition had a mouse pad with, your hand rest was essentially just a pair of boobs.
It was exactly a pair of boobs. The main part of the mouse pad was one of the characters, and the rest was in the shape of her breasts.
With anyway, like the actual ergonomic shape to it.
Right, enough about boobs. We're only like 3 minutes into the podcast.
Boobs.
I've also been reviewing Templar Battle Force. It's an indie title that's just come out. It's a turn-based strategy with a sci-fi setting. So far, all good. It's by Treese Brothers Games. It's had several updates, as is their way. As soon as anyone says, I had a glitch here, give them like 20 minutes and they'll push out an update for it.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad at all, then.
Active developers, then.
Oh, yeah, very much. They still update their first game, which is almost 5 years old.
Wow. Last time was a bit like the System Shock that just came out on GOG, and that got updated.
Well, you'd need to update that. How old's that?
I can't remember now, actually. But it got a re-release on GOG, and it had like mouse support and all these extra fixes to it, and increased in textures. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, GOG are really good at updating games.
Anything else at all, Ace? You, apart from focusing on Metal Gear and playing other indie titles?
A bit of Marvel Heroes 2015.
I keep meaning to try that. That's the Diablo one, isn't it? We spoke about it before.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, what about you, Fowler? What have you been playing in the past week?
I've actually been trying a game called Dream that it's going to be getting a review for on our website, and is very different. It kind of looks like it was, I'm not 100% actually whether it was done in the Unreal Engine 5, but basically you start out with like a very vague understanding of what happens, but you're exploring as a young character your own dream world. So you end up with like your character creates all these vivid worlds, like the Penrose Stairs. So you have to kind of find your way through that and sort out all these weird puzzles. It's definitely a different game. I still have to put a considerable amount of time into it, I think, to fully understand everything, because I keep getting stuck in these labyrinths.
Is it like one of those, what people are calling them, walking simulators? Like Gone Home?
Yeah, pretty much. I at some points I haven't, when I first played for the first 40 minutes, I think, I didn't even come across a puzzle. I just kept getting lost in this room. There are no, like, indicators in some of the rooms, so you don't really know which way. You couldn't even find your way back out if you wanted to. They're literally labyrinths.
That would get annoying after a while.
It hasn't gotten to me yet. It's still interesting. It does bring in, like, a nice variety of different, like, dream worlds, so it doesn't get too stale so far.
Yeah, it definitely looks interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, too, because it actually does switch between, like, happy dream worlds, and then you have these kind of nightmarish labyrinths as well. But other than that, it's been League of Legends and the usual Hearthstone for me.
Have you not been playing CSGO recently? Or have you given up after the patch?
I've started playing again, but I'm always going to be playing it, to be honest.
You're going to force yourself to get used to the hitboxes.
Yes, they did fix them, apparently. The animation system still looks weird, though. When you defuse the bomb, your character basically attaches these wires that look like umbilical cords to the bomb.
Oh, so they changed the animations as well?
Oh, they've reworked the whole animation system. That's what fixed part of the hitboxes, because sometimes what would screw it up would be if your character went from standing up to crouched and someone shot at you, it could just completely pass through them.
Oh, that's not too good, especially when you're playing competitively.
Yeah. So now they've mainly fixed it, but it looks so... It's almost like they're turning CS into a kiddie game. The animations look really childish to me.
And the guns have been replaced but with Nerf guns.
Yeah, soon.
Water pistols.
Next DLC. But yeah, other than that, just the usual.
The usual. Oh. This week, well, kind of been jumping back and forth between games, to be fair. Got back to Metal Gear, because I need to actually play more of that, but I'm also stuck in a horrible position. But other than that, I've been trying to actually... You know when you say, like, Counter-Strike, the guns pass through or they're not registering or anything like that and they need to fix it. They need to do the same thing for the new Gears of War, the Ultimate Edition, because it is laggy, guns don't hit enemies. It's really
is this with the
shitty.
Online?
Yeah, this is the online mode. Yeah, it's really a horrible state.
Oh, that's horrible net coding then.
Well, it's supposed to be on dedicated servers, but I don't know. I can't explain. Sometimes it feels like a random numbers game with it. It's like, oh, if there's a group of enemies, you take two down, and then you try and take out the third one, but your shot doesn't count, but theirs does, and that's you dead. That's it. You've got to put up with it.
You should have rolled a D20.
Well, that'd be the next, wouldn't it? Gears of War card game, board game, MOBA.
A hobby grade Gears of War.
Oh, dear. That's becoming a catchphrase now.
I think that's only with me, just to bug Ace.
And Hamilton.
I'm going to stop turning up.
That does sound, for a game that's remastered, though, that's pretty sad that they still haven't managed to fix that.
But that's part of the charm. They leave in the same errors, so you know that it's the same game.
It doesn't feel... It's not part of the charm. Some of the glitches are still in there, but it's not nice. It's pleased to say. They've promised a patch, and they're aware of all the issues, but they're not saying when they're going to actually release this patch. So I'm taking a little bit of a break from it, just for now, and start writing the little tip guide. And tip number one will probably be, make sure you have a good internet connection.
Well, when they first announced, or shortly after they announced the Master Chief Halo collection, they set it 343 Industries, that's them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the guys.
Said that all of the old glitches that you had fun with are still going to be there in the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps that's what they went for with Gears of War, just without stating it outright that they weren't fixing anything.
Yeah. Sometimes you think it's nostalgia, and then there's also like good nostalgia, and then there's bad nostalgia. You think, oh, I remember being able to do that. That's really cool, because you could do a weapon slide in the first one, and it's still in the Ultimate Edition. But then you've got all the other bugs, like the horrible hit detection, that still remains, and they're thinking, oh, it's part of the charm. No, it's not.
Yeah. It's amazing how no one has, well, to my knowledge, with FPSs and whatnot, no one has actually managed to come up with a proper netcode. Something that works where, like, every single FPS I play, even if both players have 5 ping to the server, there are points where you shoot at someone and they think they're behind a wall and they're not.
Yeah, that happens a lot in most games. I think Call of Duty is notorious for it because they always have this lag compensation added into it.
Yeah.
More and more games are starting to use it and it just doesn't work because I can understand you're always going to have someone who's going to have a better internet connection than you, but as long as you've got a good internet connection, why should you be punished with lag compensation because the other guy at the end of the world has a shitty internet connection? Compensate
like
him. Compensate him, not you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not too bad.
That's disappointing that Gears... you spent the money for Gears of War Remastered and then they don't bother fixing simple things like that.
Or in my case, not just spending the money on the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, spending the money on the console. And
just
the Gears
for
of
that.
Yeah, that kind of leaves me...
You feel completely justified.
I did it first. I thought this was great. And then now it's slowly hitting me and hitting me, realizing, if they don't get this fixed, I still send it back to the store.
Barely, you can count it as barely used.
Yeah, I suppose. Although sometimes retailers are a bit funny now, because it came with a download code, they might not accept it, because it came with the game as a digital download.
Yeah, they might not look too friendly upon that, but...
That does annoy me sometimes. Well, so that's what we've been playing for the past week. But let's move on to this week's main topic, and it is our biggest surprises. Games that of a particular genre that you disliked, or maybe when you first saw the game got announced or revealed, you didn't take much interest into it. But when you actually got time to play it or saw someone else play it or gave it a go, you were pleasantly surprised to find how good it was. So what do you think, guys? What sort of games have you played that made you go, shit, this is good?
For me, actually, I was also, when we were actually talking about it before the podcast, I thought about it and I realized that Ark was another one that kind of surprised me. Not that it looked, I didn't think it looked shit at the start. It was more, oh God, it's another survival alpha where they're going to put an update out every 7 or 8 weeks or maybe every like half year.
Yeah.
But it's been, well, I updated last night before I went to bed. There was an update waiting for me this morning, and then there was an update waiting about 3 hours ago.
Gee, they're constantly updating, aren't they?
Always.
I installed it for the free work weekend. It wouldn't work. But after I installed it, about an hour later, I'd restarted my computer, loaded up Steam, and there's an update for Ark.
Yeah, it's they're constantly doing it.
That's good developer dedication. That's good for the developers. Yeah, I thought the same. I do have Ark, but I haven't actually gone back to it in freaking ages.
It's worth a check.
I think it's worth probably going back to it. I think because I bought it around a time when the first optimizations started coming out for it, and it was still running a bit poo on my machine.
Yeah, now they've got... they've optimized the hell out of it compared to most of the other survival alphas that are out there.
Mm.
But yeah, that and Super Meat Boy and all the indie games that I'd talked about, I've always been pretty surprised about.
It's funny how so many indie games just caught you by surprise, to be fair. I think Hotline Miami is one of the games I found were quite surprised, because when I first saw it, I thought this was going to be another sort of Super Meat Boy type game where it's just going to be stupidly difficult, but when you get into it, it's freaking awesome. Hotline Miami.
Yeah,
it is difficult though.
Yeah, but that's the challenge of it. That's what I love about it.
I'm not that bad at it, am I?
I didn't like the second one as much as I liked the first one though, and I reviewed the second one, and I kind of sort of say it's one of those things. You either love the first one, or you either love the first one and hate the second one, or you either love the second one and hate the first one. It's one of them. You know, they're both equally great games.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make another one. It's a shame. But it's all the music in that. That's what made it for me as well, the music in that game.
Seems like indie companies do a really good job of focusing on music. I mean, all the ones I've played have had fantastic soundtracks, or the ones that surprised me, at least.
Yeah, I found that as well. I mean, a lot of games, if you look on Steam, some titles, it's like the one you're doing, the reviewing, the Dreams. Yeah. It's on the store page, and they're selling the soundtrack separately. And how often do you have AAA developers doing that? Usually it's indie titles that are saying, oh, get the game and get the soundtrack.
Depends which Humble Bundle you look at.
That's true.
But that is usually mostly indie games that have the soundtrack.
I think it's to support the... because they usually get like a third party or a good friend. If it's like a small little team, it's usually the good friend of theirs who's the up-and-coming composer or a musician, and he wants to also get his work out. So they think, if we sell your soundtrack, that'll get you out there.
And they usually do such a good job with it.
They do, yeah.
I mean, I think that's maybe one of the things that is one of my major criteria for a game is if it's going to, like we've discussed with pixel graphics, if it's going to have that kind of graphic set, it has to have a good soundtrack. And that's what a lot of them do right is they come up with these low budget graphics, but end up coming up with the brilliant soundtrack to go with really good gameplay.
And sometimes with those sort of indie titles, the soundtrack can just be as memorable as the game itself.
Oh, yeah.
What about yourself? What about you, Ace? Any particular games that have surprised you?
Well, the first one that sprang to my mind was one I started playing recently, Psychonauts. Over the years, I'd heard, oh, it's a great game, but I just hadn't gotten around to playing it. And by the time I did, I had this picture of it being a great game. I thought there was no way it could be great. And it is. It really is as good as people say. Even as controller support.
That's the what's his name? Tim Schafer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got around to playing that either. But yeah, again, yeah, same. I've heard so many people saying, yeah, Psychonauts is amazing. It's great. It's awesome. It's really clever. Really smart in some places. The only thing I mostly know about is a lot of people saying one of the best levels in games is like the Milkman level from it.
I don't think I've reached that level yet.
You haven't reached that part yet. I can't remember.
I don't even remember that. I played it ages ago.
It's my list. It's on my list. I think one of the games that caught me surprised as well is Chivalry. Medieval Warfare. Yeah.
It's one of the few games that has actually done sword gameplay properly.
Exactly. That's what made it so good.
Yeah.
Mountain Blade?
Mountain Blade.
Yeah. See, I thought that was going to be quite good with the whole combat because it had this, you can fight which up, down, or whatever. And it just felt very clunky and not right. But Chivalry did an excellent job of it. It's so good. And I think it's still played really well. It's because games like that usually die out quite quickly. If it's not Counter-Strike or it's not Call of Duty, they usually die out quite quickly. But that's had a really good, strong following on Steam.
I think it's also that they add in, like, the last DLC I think they did was the Ninjas versus something. So it switches it up a bit, which is kind of nice.
Oh, God, that was the Deadliest Warrior. TV show.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by that because there have been tons of sword and shield games that have just been absolute crap.
Yeah, and Chivalry just did a brilliant job. I really hope it comes to PS4. That'd be really nice if it did. But then again,
I still remember that. What was that one that was shown for the Wii? This is way back when it first was coming out. It's the one where you could use the remotes to actually control your sword, but it actually gave you very limited movement.
Is that the samurai one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was supposed to be the big first-person sword fighting game that was supposed to sell millions of copies.
It was horrible.
I remember it's called now.
Yeah, that was one that definitely did not get it right.
I mean, give them credit. They tend to. It's just nobody wants crappy motion controls for that sort of game.
Well, I think it could have been done well. I mean, the remotes do have a decent amount of, like, the gyroscope sensitivity is pretty good on it. It's just that they actually didn't really try with it.
Although I do think, if I remember, because they made a sequel to it, and it came when that's when they made the Wii motion remote add-on. I can't remember what it's called now. It basically improved the motion of it.
Was that the one where they put the little light? No, that was PlayStation that had the little light bulb on the end of it.
Yeah, that was the PlayStation Move.
Yeah, I can't think of what the extension bit is.
I'm not going mad. They definitely did some sort of add-on.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
I think it was Wii Remote Plus.
Yeah, something like that. I suppose one of the biggest surprises for a lot of people...
Motion Plus, sorry.
Ah, Motion Plus. Ah, the more we know. Yeah, one of the biggest surprises, I believe, will probably be for a lot of people, considering it was made available for free on PlayStation 4, that is Rocket League. Who would have thought a football game with cars would be that so good?
Yeah, it was definitely a big surprise for me because I dislike sport. I have no interest at all in football. But I got into the beta of Rocket League because rocket-powered cars, who doesn't want to play that? And I just had an absolute blast. And then when it was made, it was free on PS Plus, it was perfect.
I think it was especially surprising coming from a company who named their first game Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars.
I'll give you a point for remembering it. That's such an awful title.
I just finished... I forget who I was telling about it, and they just said there was a sequel or a prequel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocket League is definitely a bit more snappier.
Yeah.
I was speaking to... someone from Rebellion, the gaming studio, and apparently he had no idea about what Rocket League was, and then it came free on PS Plus. He thought, that sounds interesting. I'll download it, and he's hooked. Apparently, the whole team constantly play it at lunchtime still.
Oh Jesus!
It really is an addiction for some people.
But that's the beauty.
Oh,
of it.
Yeah.
It's a football game, and you're driving around cars with a rocket pad. It's just the simplicity. But plus the fact the games are only on for 5 minutes. You could quite happily just pick up, play for five, 10 minutes, play two games, 10 minutes, and then go off and do the rest of whatever you need to do.
Yeah, even with replays and overtime, you're not looking at more than 15 minutes for a couple of games.
And I think the good bonuses, because you know a lot of games like racing games and other sports games, you can usually set the time limit, and it doesn't let you do that in Rocket League, which is quite good, because I actually hate to be playing it for over half an hour the same match.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to mix it up against different people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another good thing that he was saying, his name's Sinon, he's the PR manager, and he was saying that what he likes is the fact that it doesn't penalize you. It gives you points for things you do, but it doesn't take points away for things. If you lose a match 12-0, it doesn't take away points like what happens in football.
Oh yeah,
because that would send people over the edge if they get teamed up with some noobs and wind up losing thousands of points.
Or yeah. Some noobs just trolling for the sake of trolling.
Exactly.
You do sometimes get trolls. I found it sometimes when I was first playing, because the online wasn't working at first on the PS4, but it properly were kicking off. When you had bots on the team, because I think they had to patch the bots, because they were actually really, really good bots on the
team. Oh, they were amazing.
So sometimes you would some player was really crap and they would leave the match because of their, I don't know why, because they're crap maybe, but it'd get replaced by an AI player. And he would storm through it, scoring, catching up, and you're thinking, wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. It was a pain in the ass to deal with.
The amount of times I had when I was first starting it online, I was playing against one particular player who's really terrible, and then the two other players who were with him are just AI controlled, and they're doing all the work. They're scoring all the goals and doing all everything, and we're losing because of how good these AI are. It only makes you a better player.
I mean, hey, props to them for doing so well with the AI coding.
Yeah, given that. Yeah. Usually most other games which has bots in its place are usually pretty shitty, or cannon fodder.
Like CSGO? That is some of the worst bot programming you will ever see.
Always makes me laugh when you see some people's montages as well as CSGO or any Counter-Strike where it's like saying, wow, look at that kill, and you just see it in brackets, bot.
Bot John was killed. Bot Dave was killed.
Wow, you're so good.
Yeah.
At killing bots.
So is there any other surprises that maybe caught you off guard?
Just trying to think here.
It's one of them tricky topics when you think about it. I think for it to be a really good surprise, I think it has to be something that's really memorable. And especially when we say that there is a fair amount that are indie titles that are very surprising.
I think another one for me, we spoke about it last week, Grow Home.
Yeah. I suppose that is an indie title.
It looks a little stupid in screenshots, but when you play it's quite addictive. Can I reach that next island? Can I get it to the next level, next height?
I don't know much about Grow Home, to be honest with you. It is on my list to play, though.
You should play it. It'll only take you a few hours, but it is surprisingly good.
That's what a lot of indie titles have become now, short and sweet experiences. But as long as they're memorable, I suppose you can always consider them as good surprises and well worth the play.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I'm not a fan of horror games, and one example that caught me surprising how good it was Outlast. But the shit's at me. But that was really good.
I still haven't played it.
Brace yourself. Turn the lights off, put your headphones on, give Outlast a go. You'll shit yourself.
One I actually just thought of, going through my library actually, was not an indie game. It was the Tomb Raider remake. I loved it.
And that was a good surprise, actually.
Because I hate when companies go back and remake their games and they're actually, in fact, crap. Whereas this was really good. Like, surprisingly good. Whereas I wasn't an enormous fan of the original games.
You didn't like swan diving Lara into things?
No, not really. It was just like, it was such a nice... it was a good change because it actually focused a bit more on the story, not just Lara Croft in a tight tank top.
But she was in one of those.
She was, but there was still story to it. There's a story behind that tank top.
There was a story more than the plot.
I think she was more real in the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Believable. That's the better word.
Yeah, like you do feel something too when... like her friends die and stuff. Well, friend.
Apart from, but
if you haven't played it, yeah.
I mean, that's been out for over a year.
She has many friends. Any one of them could die.
But, apart from her friend dying, the amount of people she killed, on the other hand, she was all about, oh no, and she getting injured and beaten the crap out of, and then she just picks up a gun and just kills 20 odd people.
Yeah, that was actually kind of funny how you have no... or the first time she kills someone in the game, you get this nice cutscene of her just losing her shit, basically.
She's in shock by it, and then the other 20 guys are just, oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I've killed one. I'm not shocked anymore.
Might as well just get rid of the rest.
Someone on Reddit brought that up. I have no idea what the... topic of the thread was, but basically, as you were saying, the first time Lara kills someone, she's an emotional wreck, and then an hour later she's walking through a hail of bullets just gunning people down,
escaping a burning building or something like that, trying to get away, killing dozens of people in a way to escape.
Yeah,
well, those were the surprises that caught us off guard and all the other little games that we enjoyed playing. And now is the time to try something completely different. So we're going to introduce a new little segment that we call Games That Will Suck. Something completely different and not entirely ripped off by someone else. But but instead of talking about random games that will be coming out in the later day or in the future, let's talk about the games that are coming out very soon, and particularly next month in October. And there's two games that I've spotted, which, I'm not necessarily going to say they will suck, but there's a possibility that they might. So the first game is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5.
Interesting, yes. That does have the potential to be absolutely terrible.
I honestly think it will be.
You don't think it will be? Will be
terrible. No, I think it will be terrible.
Oh.
I don't see the purpose of going back now. At first I was kind of excited, but then I looked back on it, and the thing that made Tony Hawk so much fun was the goofiness of it, like the second one where you could pretty much do, well, you could grind rails for an hour without falling.
I think they're trying to ride the nostalgia on the original Pro Skater games. Because they were amazing, the previous ones. But then they're trying to bring it to a new generation, and a lot of people probably just think this is too gimmicky or it's dumb. But
yeah, it's been overdone.
But then again, because of YouTube, EA actually bought that skate game back.
Really?
I think it might have just been PewDiePie or something like that. But that terrible buggy game, Skate, I think it's called Skate? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Skate.
Skate. Because of how buggy and terrible it was with the physics, this game came out years ago and kind of died off. But because of how popular it was watching YouTube, EA actually started reprinting the game.
Okay.
Yeah. But Pro Skater 5, it ain't no underground.
It just seems like it's not necessary.
Honestly, I haven't looked into what it's going to entail other than it's another Pro Skater.
So far from what I've seen, I mean, they brought back the where you can make your own maps, make your own skate parks and whatnot. And then obviously, of course, there's a huge amount of Pro Skaters that I don't even know who they are anymore. All I remember is someone like Tony Hawk or Bam Margera or something like that. But I don't know. It just seems like one of those sort of games that you think you'd get it and then play it for a little bit and then be bored of it.
Well, as you were saying, Skate was big on YouTube. Perhaps they're hoping to hit that market again with the Twitch streamers.
That could be, yeah. Because a lot of the bigger ones were definitely in that age group, right? Where they had played Underground and all those other ones.
It could be one of those games that's just been made for the fact, just for streamers, just so that people can watch other people play it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's got loads of stupidity, you know, crappy grind moments, or I don't know what the skate moves are called anymore. You know, people doing loads of ollies and falling over. By this
Ollie,
game.
I know that one.
That's the one, yeah.
that's the jumping one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't know what to say about it.
No, I think it's one of those games. Once it's released, I'm sure we'll get dozens of impressions and possibly a review upon our website, and we'll see what our verdict would be. Now, the next game, which you might hate me for, Ace, but I hope this is going to be really good.
Don't. I know what you're going to say. Don't.
But it's Transformers Devastation. So there's been very little advertisement or even any showing off of this game. We've had to have, what, two trailers released. We know it's made by Platinum Games. We've seen...
It's actually had a number of trailers, but they've been mini trailers just based on the character. Like, here's the Bumblebee trailer, here's the Optimus Prime trailer.
Yeah, very little. I know we had there was the one with the voice actors as well.
Yes.
But not huge amount on the actual full-on gameplay or what you'll actually be able to do in the game.
Could That's be really true. Good, really bad.
So are they keeping that a secret?
It may just be that there's not much of the game to discuss because it's by Platinum Games, so it's going to be go around, kill lots of people, and complete the story.
I suppose if it's anything like any the previous Platinum games like Bayonetta or Metal Gear Rising or Vanquish, they sort of follow the same structure. You go into an area, there's a group of enemies, you clear them out. You got to do a huge amount of button pressing and then create huge amount of combos and don't die because they're usually very difficult. Especially Metal Gear Rising. That was so difficult.
I still haven't played it. I really should get it, but it just seems so weird to pick up Metal Gear and have it be a open world game.
I suppose
I don't want to ruin the franchise for myself.
No. Oh, well, you're not really ruining it if you avoid Rising, because that's just completely separate from the Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Is that Metal Gear Rising Revenge and
Revenge and Nins.
Close enough.
Terrible title.
Yeah.
I suppose anything has got to be better than with the Transformers franchise is the, what it's called. It actually came out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
It was Rise of the Darkspark?
That's the one. That was awful.
Which was basically Fall of Cybertron 2.
Yeah, they tried to... I hate when developers do that, because Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, and the other one, I can't remember what it's called, Fall of Cybertron.
Footfall and War on Cybertron.
War of Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. Those two are great, awesome games. They really revitalized the franchise. Then they make this, which, fair enough, it wasn't made by the developers, but they tried to cram them together. They tried to take the Bayformers and the Cybertron G1 Transformers and smush them together, and it just ruined it. So that's the high hopes I have for Devastation.
With their games, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's why I have high hopes for Devastation, because it is Generation 1 Transformers.
Yay.
And I will play it, and I will get it regardless of whether it will suck. But it's one of those games.
And at some point, Optimus Prime will say, "One shall stand, one shall fall."
And then a virtual Shia LaBeouf will walk across the screen and go, "Just do it."
And then Optimus Prime will die, because that is his hobby.
Yep. Yeah. And then Hot Rod will become the next Prime. I hated Hot Rod from the movie.
If you watch the blasts, there's like 5 blasts. 4 of them are purple, 1 of them's orange, meaning Hot Rod shot Optimus Prime.
Wow, betrayal.
Yeah.
Oh, look, he got shot. That makes me the Prime.
Right, so what's our next game that might suck?
Well, that's the only two I've picked out, to be honest with you, because I was looking at October releases. Well, but if you've got one.
If you're only looking at the early October releases, we can leave this next one, which isn't due out until towards the end.
But, oh, go ahead.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
I was looking at that, thinking of whether I should add it to the list. But yeah, Unity, Syndicate.
Will Ubisoft have learnt their lessons?
Ubisoft never learns.
No, they won't.
As long as they keep making money off of games, they don't care whether it's good or bad.
It's the same as the last one, but this one you can steal carriages like GTA and swing on a web like Spider-Man.
Wait, what? You can swing on a web?
He's got some sort of grappling hook attached to his arm.
Oh, dear.
Well, there we go. Enough said.
As long as they don't make it a buggy mess like Unity, I suppose that's an improvement in Ubisoft's eyes.
Well, I could go on for days about this game. The assassin is a thug. He's your average football hooligan from London. Since you're in England, you're not going to be able to carry a weapon out in the open or something, because in most of the gameplay footage, he doesn't have a sword or anything, but you can grab bats and sticks and stuff from people.
He's a fisticuffs man now. He's got the the knuckle dusters.
Yeah, like I said, a hooligan.
Yeah. But then again, they're trying to make it look as though the people in the hierarchy are the Templars. I can't remember now if they even actually are still going on about the Templars, to be fair.
Yeah, they are. Because Arno in the last one was some higher up in French society, and then his dad died because the main character from Assassin's Creed Rogue killed him.
Ah, that's how they connected them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to keep on making them.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
until they start making money on them.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I mean, we spoke about the series at length last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we could always talk a bit more about that closer to its release or whenever it comes out. And whoever has the joy of actually reviewing it maybe might be able to talk about it, whomever it may be. So, looking at the time, it's afraid to say that's all the time we've got for. We've come to the end of the show. But if you've got any questions to put forward to us or an opinion on what was the biggest surprise, well, biggest game surprise for you, then be sure to leave a comment on our website. I've been your host, Cal, and thanks to my guests, Ace and Fowler, you've been listening to the Game Grin Grincast. For more of the podcast, be sure to check us out on iTunes. And for the best news, reviews, and articles, you can find us on www.gamegrin.com, on YouTube at youtube.com/gamegrin, Facebook, just search GameGrin, and of course on Twitter at GameGrin. And be sure to check out our sister site as well, Game On Mag, for more gaming-related news and lovely articles. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Game On!